covering Michigan and the world from his bunker below the bridge. Here is Steve Gruber.
You know, I've heard a lot about this since Donald Trump became president. Time will really bear it out if it proves to be true over time. But a lot of conversations about transparency. The FCC, Ajit Pai there, says he wants to make sure that anything is done involving, you know, radio, television, the internet, that if there are going to be rule changes, he'll publish it on the internet for 2 or 3 weeks for everybody to see and comment on before they go forward with these sorts of things. So this kind of open policy is becoming a bit of a hallmark of this administration. Of course, the leaks are keeping a lot of things open as well, but that's unintentional. Jason Hayes is an environmental policy director for the Mackinac Center for Public Policy, joining me on the program to talk about the Honest Act. Jason, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me, Steve. I appreciate it.
The Honest Act deals with the EPA, science, and transparency. Tell our listeners what this is and what it will mean.
Well, the idea of it is to basically get the science that's underlining new regulations out into the open. So in the past, there's been issues with the EPA kind of not really being willing to share the data that was driving regulation. So they would say, we're going to put this new environmental regulation out. It's based on science, but you can't see the science. So
how convenient is that?
Pardon me?
I said, how convenient is that? We're going to impose this new rule based on the best science available that we're not going to tell you a thing about. I mean, come on.
Right. I mean, it's a trust us kind of thing. I mean, we're coming up to tax season. If your accountant said to you, I'm going to raise your rates here. Your taxes are going up 30%. Just cut me a check to me personally, and I'll work it out. Just trust me, it's all going to be okay.
Yeah.
Would you go, sure.
Yeah, no.
Here's the check.
No, that doesn't work so well for me.
You would probably question. You would probably want a second opinion. The only thing is, with the EPA, we don't get a second opinion. You've got the EPA, so you can't go shopping around for another EPA Junior or EPA 2.0. You're stuck with what you get.
So how would it affect, for example, the waters of the USA, which I thought was a horrible, horrible regulation, because I have a small hobby farm, if you will, and it would have affected everything. There's a small pond on the place. It's not open to any other waterway. It's not open to any other, you know, rivers, lakes, whatever. And yet right. That small pond, in fact, some would say right down to the mud puddles on the driveway, the two-track leading to the pond would have been regulated. What will it mean for people in Michigan, this kind of openness and transparency?
Well, at the Mackinac Center, we always push for openness and transparency. I mean, sometimes it can be a little uncomfortable having all the details, but it's better to be fully informed and know what's actually happening, know why something is going on or being proposed as a new policy or a new regulation, then you can make an informed choice. I mean, if you want the policy, then good, stick with it. If you don't, then do something new.
Let me ask you this. You know, obviously Michigan with, you know, 20% of the world's fresh water at our fingertips, when you have regulations from the EPA, it can directly impact not just what goes on here and the quality of the water, because we all want clean water and clean air, despite what might be said. And rolling back some of the money spent on the EPA doesn't mean that I want dirty water and dirty air. It just means that I think we have other priorities. As long as we focus on cleaning up the Great Lakes and cleaning up rivers when there are issues and so forth, that is a priority for me. So changing EPA regulations, I think Michigan stands as much to lose as probably any other state in America. It is important for us to know what's going on.
Absolutely. And we also need to, I think, kind of move past the notion that anything that, you know, comes out the door at the EPA is absolutely essential, and that if it doesn't happen exactly the way the EPA said it should happen, then it's somehow anti-science or anti-environment. That's, I mean, simply not true. If you look at the past 40 to 50 years, I mean, air pollution is a good example. From 1970 through to 2015, the EPA's own documents show that with reasonable regulation, we've been able to reduce the six major criteria pollutants by, I believe the numbers on average, 71%. And that's at the same time as we had the economy moving up, more vehicle miles traveled. I mean, there's a lot of things happening, and overall, the quality of our environment is improving markedly. So, I mean, that's obvious to anybody who was alive in the 70s. I mean, we had rivers on fire, we had acid rain, we had those kind of things going on. Those are very few and far between today. So we've got a much better quality of environment. We have cleaner air, cleaner water, all of those sorts of things. So at some point you can say, all right, we've achieved a lot here. Do we still need to be putting, you know, those heavy, heavy screws on? Nothing wrong with proper environmental regulation. Like you said, nobody wants dirty water. Nobody wants dirty air. But just because it comes out the front door at the EPA does not mean it's gospel.
Well, let me ask you this, and we're out with Jason Hayes from the Mackinac Center for Public Policy. He's the Environmental Policy Director. Jason, are some of these things that the EPA has basically manhandled and taken over, wouldn't they have been better handled at the state level to begin with, many of these things? I mean, the Ausable River, wouldn't we be better to take care of the Ausable or Saginaw Bay or whatever the case may be? When it comes to the environment, if there's a cleanup site from a, you know, an old underground leaking fuel tank, wouldn't we at the state level be better prepared to deal with such things and take it away from the federal government altogether?
Yes, and that's, I mean, most of those environmental issues are constitutionally at the state level, so they should be. There are some things like with Great Lakes, there's, you know, national, international issues that need to be dealt with by federal governments. So you recognize that. But yes, I mean, if there's, you know, a brownfield site somewhere where there used to be an industrial factory or something like that within Michigan that's impacting only Michigan, yes, that's properly within the purview of the DEQ or the DNR. That's the Department of Environmental Quality or Natural Resources.
Right.
That's a state-level thing.
And when I was doing some pond restoration, I think is what it was called, the official thing on the form that I filled out with the DEQ, that's who I dealt with. I dealt with a couple of folks at the DEQ. They were great to deal with. Contrary to what people might think about dealing with a government agency, it was smooth. It was easy. I had to follow certain guidelines to do, you know, updating and maintenance on a small pond, like I said, but I don't need the EPA to come in and give their 2 cents worth when I'm being, you know, looked after. I've got a permit from the state, and it seems to follow pretty commonsensical guidelines in my estimation. Anyhow, I'll give you 30 seconds for the last word, Jason.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the people who work at the state level, they're good people. They want the same thing as everyone else. I mean, they want clean air, clean water. Just when we say through the Mackinac Center, we want the facts, basically. We want access to the data that is being used to justify something. And this is, I mean, the Honest Act is an example of it. You know, at a federal level, we want the same thing at state levels. We want to be educated, or at least have the ability to educate ourselves on these issues.
I couldn't agree more. Jason Hayes from the Mackinac Center for Public Policy, thank you for the conversation. Thanks for stopping in.
Yeah, thanks, Steve.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. The hotline's open. Why not? 888-900-9966. We'll be right back.